Without the Word of God, any freedom that we have will ultimately lead to bondage. You can't, freedom isn't doing everything your flesh wants to do. That is leading you to bondage. But when we walk in truth, and truth, and truth, we're talking about eternal things that cannot change, eternal things that are perfect and good and pure and lovely. Those are the things that set us free. And there's nothing to regret. So we're going to get right into the Word, and when we do, this Word is God speaking to me. This Word is God's life being imparted to me. This Word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This Word is God's authority being delegated to me. This Word is God's blessing overtaking me. This Word is God's ability empowering me. This Word is God's counsel guiding me. This Word is God's power of salvation to me. This Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This Word is God speaking to me. You know, if you desire freedom, the type of freedom that Jesus declared, and He, by the way, proclaimed that freedom is your birthright. If you want that freedom, you came to the right place. There's a connection between the Word of God and the freedom of the kingdom of heaven. We're going to break that down, the process of moving into the light, moving into freedom. The word freedom connection is what we're talking about today. The word, say that, the word freedom connection. There's a connection between the Word of God and the freedom that it brings to you. Like we said, Proverbs 4:18, it says the path of the just shines, say that, shines, is as the shining light that shines more and more into the full day. In other words, the path of the light of the righteous gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until like the noonday sun. And then it doesn't go darker and darker and darker. It just stays in the light. It's light. That's the path of the righteous, is light. Light. Well, unless you watch the news. They'll have you depressed in about 1 minute flat. Right. When I was a kid, hippies are going to take over the world. Rebellion. Oh, the rock music. And people were getting upset. They said the subculture is going to take over the world. Amazing how that flipped over into the free market system after about 10 years. See, God brought it right back to center. Now they say Black Lives Matter. Well, you know what? Jesus said they all do. And in fact, there's only two races. There are born-again people, and there are people who are not born-again. Those are the only two races that God talks about in the Bible, because He said, you shall know no man after the flesh. Right. And if you are born-again, you know what our obligation is? Our debt to Jesus is to love everybody who is not born-again and who is born-again, but to love them and give them the gospel of love and acceptance and truth that's promised by God. Simple. Now, why complicate that? Oh, Rochester. You know, it's really, I mean, you've got to get rid of this. If we don't love it, we're not going to enjoy heaven very much if we have racial problems. Because we're all going to be there if you're born again. That's open to everybody. Amen? So let's set the table for this. How did I get into that anyhow?
Jesus.
Just a review from last week, we talked about the freedom that Jesus proclaimed as a reality as we continue in His Word. We looked at John 8:31 and 32. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. These Jews already believed on Him. In fact, they did more. They knew He was the Messiah. But they were opposing Him. They were pitted against Him. In fact, later in the chapter, he says, you're seeking to kill me. Same chapter 8. He said, Abraham, your father wouldn't do that. And then he told him, you are children of your father, the devil. And these are people who believed in him. They knew he was Messiah. Jesus was drawing a line in the sand when he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You know the truth, and the truth will get you free. Man, that's amazing. He is sitting, reaching out to them in love. These are people opposed to him, committed to killing him, committed to ending his career. Why? Because he's there to drain the swamp. He's there to drain the swamp, and they're standing there totally opposed to him, wanting to kill him. Does that sound familiar? They have taken the things of God and perverted them and reworked them to their own advantage so they could dominate a culture and the people of that culture with fear. And that's exactly what they were doing. And yet here's Jesus reaching out to them in love. All of us have built in our own lives these little systems that are not of God. Systems that God wants to expose to us and say, look, you know, that's limiting you. That's an obstacle to you from enjoying my freedom that I called you into. All of us have built that. Thank God. Isn't it joyful to know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? And he was dealing with these people in love who were against him and pitted against him. And yet, he's dealing with them in love, and he deals with us the same way. And those monuments that we have built in our life, he's looking at us and say, Phil, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciple indeed. You know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You could build, you know, all of the monuments to whatever, to please your flesh, to fulfill a pride or an ego in your life. All these are little things that grow to be big things and then stop the flow of your liberty in Christ. They limit your prayer life. They limit your relationships. They limit your ability to be successful in business. They limit everything. Have you hit a wall in your relationships, in your marriage, in your kids, with your friends, in your neighborhood? Have you hit a wall? Do you want that wall to go down? Okay. Jesus was drawing he was drawing that line in the sand. It's liberatingly joyful to know that he deals with us in love all the time. You know, the church always doesn't deserve Jesus to love us, but he does anyway. Amen. Well, let's get into this. I've got so many things here. I'm just really at a loss as to where to start. Jesus said, if you continue, say continue.
Continue.
What does that mean?
Keep going.
Continue. It means to keep going on, keep going on, keep going on, keep peeling the onion, keep going deeper, keep going deeper, keep going deeper. If you continue in my word, you know the truth. So the problems that we experience really aren't the problem. The problem that we experience is a result of other things. The problem isn't the problem. First of all, the problem is not knowing how you got in that situation in the first place.
Right.
A lot of times, right?
Yeah.
You need revelation on where did I make a mistake? Where did I leave the door open to the devil to come in with his stuff?
Right.
Where did I do that? And then the other truth is, okay, how do I rework so that I become free again from this problem, from these problems, from these limitations, from all these? How do I experience the freedom that God wants to give me? Well, let's work at the properties of the Word of God. Turn to, I'm going to skip through some of these. Let's see. We'll skip that. John chapter 1. Let's turn there. And verse 1. We'll read through verse 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning was the Word. Now, we already know one property of the Word. Jesus said, if you continue my word, you know the truth. So one property of the Word of God is the knowledge of the truth. All truth is in the Word of God. That's number one. Number two is that the Word of God is life. It is the life of God. So number one is the Word is the knowledge of the truth. Number two is the Word is the life of God. Number three is the Word of God is the light of God. That's the creative power of God. That's in both the Hebrew and Greek meanings, it's used to describe the creative power of God in development of all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So we have the mind of Christ, the Bible says, which is the anointing to understand God. You out there? The Word of God is the knowledge of the truth. The Word of God is the life of God. The Word of God is the light of God. All the properties are resident in the Word of God that have to do with God. Love, joy, peace, faith. And then what does it say in verse 14? Knowledge of the truth, the life of God, the light of God, and all of these things were made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. The Word, the nature of the Word, is to become flesh in our lives. Let that just sink in. Do you remember when Jesus said, and by the way, when the life of God, the light of God, the knowledge of the, and all of these things are the love, every the person of God in that man stood on that hill and gave you the legal right to ask him to give you daily bread. Yeah. And the authorization to believe God to receive it. That's big. Think about bread. We all need natural food, natural bread. What is bread? Bread has, and food, fish, whatever it is, whatever you eat, meat eaters, you're vegetarian, fruitarian, whatever. It has in it nutrients. And when we eat the food, it goes into our digestive tract, which releases acids, breaks down the food, and releases the nutrients in that food to be absorbed into our body. At one point, at what point, and when does food become life to our flesh? Food becomes light and life to your flesh. It becomes whatever is in the food gets in your flesh. That could be a good thing or a bad thing. You are what you eat. What's the Word? It's full of grace and full of truth. Where does truth lead you? Freedom. I'm going slow here because I want to give dramatic pause in order for it to sink down deep. Jesus said, let my saying sink down into your ears. Let it just cook there for a while. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, what is he referring to? He's referring to the word of God. He said, I am the bread of life, right? So he's saying, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, Lord, I'm going to partake of your bread, your word, your will in my life. Show me how to tap into the realities of the Spirit. Show me how to have them manifest in my life. Show me how your freedom comes into my life and liberates. Show me how these things are done. Show me how I can walk in these things. Show me how the things that are in the Spirit that you've already declared, how do I get them into my life and how do I walk in them? How do I get it out of the Spirit into the natural? How do I get your word to be made flesh in my life? How do I get your healing to be flesh in my life? How do I get your wonder and your awe in my souls to clear out all of the hurts and make that pass and throw a flood of water on that landscape of my past so I can't even recognize it anymore. And I will go and I'll plant my vineyards of the grapes of God, and I'm going to partake of the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
And I'll partake of his covenant. How do I do this? How do I do this? How? Give me the answers. Well, if he gave it to you, just dropped it on you, it wouldn't mean much to you. But if you got into that word and started studying it and picking it up and opening it up, and all of a sudden, now you get excited. You're finding something. By the way, that's always been there. Waiting.
Yeah.
And saying, hi, I'm here. I'm here. Let's talk about, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the process of manifestation. This is the word freedom connection, where the word of God is becoming flesh in your life, where his promises are being made manifest in your life, where his word, where now you know that you're filled with the love of God. Now you know that you have a peace of God that goes beyond anything that you can understand. You getting this?
Yes.
Turn with me. First of all, let's go to Joshua. Chapter 1, verse 8. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Now, did I put that back here further? There you go. Hallelujah. Landed right on. Okay. Joshua is taking over for Moses. Tough act to follow. Your past is a tough act to follow, too. You know, there were giants in the land. Now Joshua's gone in and taking the people in it. What are some of the giants in your life? Let's deal with that first. Good, good, good. How about the past? Big giant. How about failures? How about sins? Things that you can't get over. Mistakes. All kinds of things. I mean, if you think about it, you can come up with a really long list. And you know what? There are people who say, get a list of everything wrong in your life, and write it down and deal with one thing. No, take your list and burn it. It's not even worth looking at. You look at the truth,
yes,
and the truth will make you free.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Now, where we're Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. God is instructing Joshua. You want to go in and get the promises? You want to go into the land that I promised you? You want to go in and establish, you want to be established in the kingdom of God? That's what's telling you. Do it this way. This book of the law, now the law means the word of God. It doesn't mean the Ten Commandments. This book of the word of God shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Meditate. Now, we just talked about daily bread, the food that we eat, right? One of the definitions in the Hebrew of meditation is to chew the cud of. When a cow eats grass, it goes down in the first stomach. It can't process that. It comes back up. It chews the cud. Then it goes back down to the second. It's kind of gross. But stick with me. There's purpose in this. Blame God. Goes down in the second stomach. And then it comes back up again. It goes in the third stomach. Then it comes back. Then it goes down into the fourth stomach. And all of a sudden, the cow, it can process the food. And the cow is, the nutrients from the cow is all in it. He's all set. Well, when you hear the word of God about something, first of all, it doesn't make any sense to you. You can't process it. You don't have a place for it. And it just kind of drifts away. And then something happens where the same thing, where it comes back to you again. And you say, oh, what was that? Yeah, something to that. And then it drifts away, and then it comes back again. You say, you know what? God's telling me something here. What is that? And then the fourth time, and it's just to chew the cud of. That's what meditation means. And now you're processing it, and now it's becoming part, that word is becoming infused with your spirit, engrafted in your spirit. Receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, and bring the benefits of salvation into your soul. And one of the benefits of salvation is truth, is freedom through the truth. Knowing the truth and be set free. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to talk about getting things from the Spirit into the natural realm. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All the blessings of God have already been given, right? Yeah. He has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, the Greek language is a language of context. That's one thing I learned from Rick Renner. And there are several Greek expressions that Paul used that you can only understand them in their context. Normally, heavenly places would have to do with the atmosphere and this the atmosphere around the earth. That would be the heavenlies that he's talking about. But he's not talking about that here. Why would God throw all his blessings into the atmosphere? The term in Christ refers to that these are locked up in the spiritual realm. These have been preserved for us in the spirit, so that we can tap into them and bring them into the natural. They can manifest in our lives. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Would it make sense for God to just throw his blessings into the clouds and around the earth? No. He's locked them up in Jesus. They are a reality in the Spirit. All the blessings of God have already been given. We have already been blessed with them. They are theirs for the taking. We just need to know how to get them. Right. How do you do that? Turn to 1 John chapter 1. You getting anything out of this?
Yes.
1 John chapter 1, verse 1. We've been through this before. It's good to be reminded. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. In this one scripture is our snapshot of the process of manifestation. That which was from the beginning, who's that? Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Which we have heard. What comes from hearing?
Faith.
So when we hear the word of God, when we hear Jesus, faith comes, right? Which we have seen with our eyes. This is a reference to seeing as God sees. Now we begin to see ourselves as God sees us. Now we begin to see God as he is. So faith comes by hearing, and then it changes how we look at God, how we look at ourselves. We see with our eyes. And we have looked upon, this is a reference to continuation, meditation on the Word of God, looking at it, looking at it, looking at it, looking at it. We have looked upon, and then what does it say we do? We handle. That we handle the word of life. Remember, life, the word is life. The word is life. The word is all the attributes of God are in that word. And then it says, which we have heard, faith comes. Which we have seen, we see ourselves differently. We see ourselves as God sees us. We see God as he is. That we look upon and gaze upon. And as you look into him, you begin to change. The Bible, in chapter 3 of 1 John, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And as you look upon him, and look upon him, and look upon him, there's a transformation that comes into your mind. Your mind is renewed, and transformation comes from the renewing of your mind. And when you see yourself as God sees you, not as other people see you, not as you see yourself, but when you see what God says, he says, you cannot fail. You are more than a conqueror. You are the healed. You are not the sick. You're the healed. Start there. Start there. Start where I start. Go where I say go. Let my word bring you where I want to bring you. Let my word give you. Let it become flesh in your life. Let it be made flesh in your life. Partake of it. This is what's symbolized in the Lord's table. When we are partaking of the Lord's table, we're committing to the Word of God, among a lot of other things. But that which we've heard, faith comes. Seen with our eyes, reference to seeing God as he is, seeing ourselves, looking upon it, continual looking upon, meditating on the Word that renews our mind and brings transformation to our whole person, spirit, soul, and body. Then you will handle of the Word of God. It'll manifest in the physical realm. This is not theory. This is not philosophy. This is not the wisdom of men. This is the way God works. This is his life. This is how life comes into your spirit. This is how faith comes into your spirit. This is how healing comes into your mind. You know, a lot of people need mental and emotional healing. But if you're born again, you don't need spiritual healing. You're already recreated in the likeness of Jesus himself. In your spirit, you are totally wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. I wish we didn't have flesh. How about it? But we all have a flesh. The Apostle Paul had a flesh, and he had to deal with it. You know, we were talking about this the other night. Paul said, I don't let my body dictate to me. I dictate to it. I don't serve my body. It serves me. And when I'm committed to the Lord and the Word is ever important, then the Word will transform my body into what I need it to be, and then I will walk accordingly. And it didn't matter, I mean, wherever he went, there was either revival or a riot. There was no middle ground. And they stoned him. He died. He raised up again. They could not do anything to him that he couldn't recover from. That is freedom. When you know that you cannot fail, when you know that God is bigger than anything that comes against you, when you know the authority that you have as a believer. And by the way, as we talked about, I think it was in a recent WOW, that our authority is only as powerful as our submission to God's authority in our life. That was the Roman centurion got that revelation of authority and how it worked, and Jesus called it faith. He called it the greatest faith he'd ever seen in Israel. A Roman who had a revelation of authority. He says, I say, this one go, he goes. I say, this one come, he comes. So speak the word only. Oh, Jesus was being lit up. Jesus, it was such a joy for him to hear that coming out of somebody who had no. And then, what did that faith do? That faith allowed that centurion to tap into the covenant that he had no right to otherwise, but faith trumps all of that. That Syrophoenician woman who came and bathed with her daughter, she had no covenant with God. But her faith caused her to tap into that covenant, and her daughter was healed that very hour. And that demon departed from her. What is limiting you today? If it's a lack of faith, get in the Word. The Word. The Word. The Word. The Word. The Word. Continue in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That which was from the beginning. For the life was manifested. This is all about manifestation. The life was manifested, and we've seen it and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested. When you see the word twice, I mean, if Jesus says it once, it's important. When he says it twice, it's real important. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. How do you have fellowship with the Father? According to his word. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't have fellowship with anybody apart from his word. Why? Because light doesn't have fellowship with darkness, and in his word is light and life. It all comes back to the word of God. It all comes back to dieting on the word of God, feeding on the word of God, walking out the word of God, being a doer of the word. Here's what happens. When you forgive somebody because God says to forgive them, it's no longer your responsibility. It's God's responsibility. And the spirit of reconciliation is loosed. It's released. And it puts you right back in the authority that the unforgiveness took you out of. Because if you're not forgiving somebody, you're servant to them.
Right.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, I have one word for you. Let it go. Let it go. It's hindering you. It's an obstacle. You need freedom from that. You need freedom from judging. You need freedom from lofty opinions that have nothing to do with the word of God. It causes you to get engaged in conversations that are leading you further and further and further and further away from the Lord. It's getting you tied up in the thumping thought of this world, and it's taking you right out of the mind of Christ. You need to stay anchored, 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 anchored. What image do you have of yourself? What images do you have of God? Put it this way. If you don't want to apply the word of God to your problem now and try to say, well, you know what, I'll do that as soon as I get this fixed, you know, then I can do all of that. If the word of God isn't powerful enough to get you out of the situation you're in now, what kind of power do you think it's going to have later? If you don't apply the word of God because you think it's not the answer, then it's not going to be the answer then. And you'll be in that loop that the devil has you in. And just going chasing your tail through life. The Word of God, if you just, now you draw a line of sin for yourself. And you say, self, you're not going over that line again. I'm staying here, surrounded by the Word of God, a fortress around my mind by the Word of God. A fortress that cannot be penetrated by all the fiery darts of the enemy. Shield.
Yes.
And then you got a sword, which is the Word of God. Do you want this devil? You want a piece of this? I remember that, what was it? What's that Narnia thing? When those wolves are surrounding him? Yeah, whatever. The young kid, and he's surrounded by these wolves that are going to come. He takes out his sword like this. And the wolf pounced on him, and he just held his sword up, and the wolf killed himself. So when you take out the sword, the devil, I mean, where does suicide come? It comes from the devil. Hold your sword out and let the devil just run on it. Is that a good image?
Yeah.
He wants you to drop your sword. In fact, that's what persecution and affliction, cares of this life, lust of other things, and deceitfulness of riches. Those five things are designed to get you to drop the word and rely on your own strength. When the word is the only thing that will help you. It's the one thing he points at. I can go on and on and on.
Keep going, Pastor.
All right, then. The process of manifestation has everything to do with your eyes and looking, eyes and looking, eyes and looking. That which we have heard, the Word of God, causes you to see yourself as God sees you. It causes you to see Him as He really is. When you look upon Him as He really is, transformation will come because your mind will be renewed. And you'll see that you are just like Jesus on the inside. Why? Because you're a son, you're a joint, everything. You are a duplicate of Jesus in your spirit. Now, does that make you perfect? No. In the spirit it does. Now, once you have your spirit born again, you need to present your body to God as a living sacrifice and get your mind renewed. And get transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Write it down. It's big. You can get that. Transformation comes by the renewing of your mind. And how does your mind get renewed? By looking at the Word of God. By studying the Word of God. And when you do, it'll start studying you. It'll start lighting up the things that are wrong in your life, that just are holding you back. The sin that so easily besets us, the Bible says. Don't condemn yourself, deal with yourself according to the authority that God's given you to love your neighbor as yourself. You need to love yourself. Love yourself as God loves you. He loves you. He's big on love. He's big. Big on everything. Connection with the Father. Connection with the power of God. Connection with the love of God, connection with the joy of the Holy Spirit, connection with the peace that passes understanding, the peace that calms storms. The storm is going on in your life, talk to it. Connection with the eternal nature of God that lives inside of you. There's so much, I mean, this is a deep well, but we'll finish it. We'll get into the part 3 next week, which is even more better.